Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing unprepared borrowers, unconscionable bank fees, and an uplifting tax strategy.
With that title, everyone knows that this is going to be an unbelievably helpful episode as we get to the different stories that we have come across this week.
That's the goal of every episode we make, Matt.
To be unbelievably helpful?
Yeah, I think so.
It's just they don't always have un in the name like this one does. But yeah, we're going to get to all the different stories we came across this week. We're going to let you know how those stories are going to impact your personal finances. But first, last week we announced a book giveaway. We announced one of our Raid Our Bookshelf giveaways. You had until this past Wednesday at midnight. And Joel, since then, we have drawn our winners. So we've got three winners, and they are Swara Hito, Gold Rush Money, as well as S. Shen 45. We'll be reaching out to you. Check your inbox if you have not recently, because we're going to ask for your mailing address.
And we'll be sending you some books from our favorite guests that we've had on the show before. Hopefully you enjoy them, because a podcast interview, 45 minutes of a discussion, can tell you a lot, but a book tells you even more. Almost all the time, right? So yeah, thanks for playing. Thanks for entering. Thanks for those kind reviews. It means a lot to Matt and I.
It really does, because not only do we get to see some of those positive reviews, but I don't know, a lot of folks include a nice little message in there as well that basically bolsters their, you know, the review that they left, and just the different ways that folks have been able to change their lives with the different things that we talk about here on the show is incredibly meaningful. It changes our lives to hear the positive moves that you have made with your money. So thank you to everyone.
Exactly. And on that note, we want to hear actually what you've done this year, like the life-changing money moves that you have made. And we're in preparation for a year-end episode that Matt and I try to do every year where we share your listener money wins. So if you've done something awesome, if you have paid off a debt, a pesky credit card debt that you did not think was possible, or even if it's just like a mindset shift, something that you're like, man, I always had this like mental roadblock when it came to how I handle my money, and I've made a breakthrough this year. Like whatever you've done, we want to hear it. Send in a voice memo to Matt and I so we can get that into our episode that we're going to share with everyone at the end of the year.
That's right.
It's super fun to hear everybody's money wins. That's like one of my favorite episodes of the year.
It could even be a beer recommendation if we've turned you on to your new favorite brewery that you didn't know about
before. If we've converted you from being a beer hater to a beer lover, that would be...
I would love to hear about it. I really do.
And I just want to mention one other thing too, Matt. The day this airs, we record Thursday afternoons, but this airs on a Friday, and I will be Friday afternoon ringing the bell.
You'll be... are you going to be in mid-flight to New York?
No, I'll be there already. I'm leaving early in the morning, and I am...
These publish at 4 a.m. Are you leaving that early?
I'll be waking up that early.
Holy cow.
I'm on like a 6:15 flight, so I gotta put my makeup on before I go.
Sorry, I cut you off there.
No, but so I'll be ringing the bell at the New York Stock Exchange with some good friends, and a couple of whom have launched an ETF company, and so I just wanted to let listeners know. Check out our Instagram page. We'll be posting some photos of me in New York City wandering around being a total buffoon, and then I'll be posting some photos from, me on the New York Stock Exchange, which I never thought would happen.
Yeah, man, are you excited?
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. One, I like New York City, and I don't get there very often.
It's true.
It's going to be a very short trip, but... I'm going to try to eat some good food while I'm there.
Like 24 hours kind of trip?
Yeah, okay. Basically. Yeah, I'm getting there and then heading back the next day. But just to get to see some old friends in the money space. I'll see some other fellow money nerds that attend the FinCon conference that you and I go to, because they are also friends with the brothers that launched this ETF. Right.
You'll see our other Joel, 5 a.m. Joel is going
to
be there as
well. That's right, yeah. So to catch up with some of those folks and to really, I've never hung out on Wall Street. We are Main Street kind of guys, so it's going to be interesting to be where the magic happens on the New York Stock Exchange. I will report back. But let's move on, Matt. Let's get to our Friday flight, which is, of course, a sampling of stories we found interesting this week and how they pertain to your finances. And the first one we want to get to is there was a recent poll from creditcards.com, and that poll revealed that 60% of folks with credit card debt are planning to pile on more to buy gifts for the holidays.
Which is terrible news, of course, that folks are going to plan to continue to go in debt, not claw their way out of it.
Exactly. They're going in the opposite direction. And yeah, gifts for other people, we would say, are not a reason to go into debt. And they're especially not a reason to go into more debt if you already got some, you know, piled up on your credit card. You know, your credit card interest rate is likely in the high teens. I think the average credit card interest rate is somewhere close to 17%. So it's not just the price of the item that you're paying for at that point. It's the interest that you're going to be paying on that gift for months to come. So if you've still got lingering credit card debt in your life, we would say, don't up the ante and take on more. It sounds harsh, but the best way is the hard way. We would say do the bare minimum when it comes to gift giving, sticking to free and cheap until you can get yourself out of debt, which is just a great goal. And you're not going to get out of debt without a plan, by the way. You're not going to get out of debt with on a wish and a prayer. So yeah, we're not trying to guilt trip you here, but you know, while it seems like you can't do the holidays without gifts, that's not true, and it's just not worth it. So if you need help, the help of a tool, a useful tool that's free to help you get out of debt, undebt.it is a free one that can be helpful to help you create the right plan for you. We'll link to that one in the show notes. It's kind of old school looking, but it's got all the right features to help you make a plan and stick to it.
Yeah, I think they have an app as well, but I know on the desktop version, you can punch in your different debts and then you get to choose what method of debt payoff you want to go after, right? Yeah. And so whether it's like the snowball method or the debt avalanche method, it's really cool because it kind of does all the, you know, all the heavy lifting for you.
And they even have
to
a hybrid method, which is what you and I have proponents of.
There's like seven, eight or nine methods. I'm just like, well, wait a minute. Like, how many different approaches are there? Obviously, the two main ones, whether you want to prioritize the lowest interest rate or the lowest balance, depending on what's going to move the needle most for you. And so that's something, yeah, that we'll link to in the show notes. But, you know, like you're saying, Joel, like so many of the different gifts that we give, I feel like often are just out of obligation. We just feel like we're supposed to. And, you know, it might sound crazy, but there is a way to have an honest conversation to set expectations about gift giving and about your financial, you know, limitations, just where you are financially. Honesty is always going to be the best policy. And it's definitely better than going into more debt. And on that note, a quick little question for you listeners out there. Have you been noticing more junk mail in your mailbox, specifically from credit card companies? Because the Wall Street Journal reports that mailed credit card offers are back above pre-pandemic levels. We don't think that there's anything necessarily wrong with that. But if you hate getting them, you can do something about it. So you can go to Opt Out Pre-Screen. This is the site to make sure that you are able to weed out most of these offers before they even enter your mailbox. This is something that I have recently done. You can either select I want to opt out for the next 5 years, or you can just say like forever.
Eternity.
yeah. This is something I never want to hear from. And it's not just credit card companies, but insurance companies as well. And also, I noticed on there, you don't have to include your social security number anymore. That's not one of the required fields, which actually made me really happy.
Yeah, because that used to turn a lot of people off from wanting to to put in their information on the site.
Yeah, generally speaking, you want to limit how many people have your social security number at all. I know recently, actually, did we talk about me going to the dentist? I actually went to the dentist, and I won't go into the results or anything like that. It's all good news, but you have to check in on like their little iPad and make sure your information is up to date.
They asked for your social at doctor's offices.
And it was there, and so I deleted it and updated it. And so, I mean, because I thought, oh, well, I punched that in last time, but it doesn't look like it's required there anymore. And so I saved it and gave it to them, and now they don't have my social security number file.
That's one thing that I usually try to push back on. I'm like, do you really need it? No, I don't think you do.
Exactly.
Let's skip that line.
Yeah, and so we wanted to mention that specifically for credit card offers, because honestly, like, we don't want you to sign up for a credit card, like, just because it showed up in your mailbox, aside from just all the wasted paper and junk mail that you have to deal with, because you want to make sure that the rewards that you're getting with the credit card, that they are going to best fit you based on how it is that you spend. And so we've actually got an article up on the website that we'll put in the show notes that'll help steer you in the right direction based on your spending patterns. Plus, we've got another article up there as well that highlights the cards that Joel and I, that we personally use, why it is that we use those cards. But we mention those because we just want you to think through this a little bit. We want you to do your due diligence before bringing another credit card into your life.
Exactly. We're not anti-credit card. We're just anti you having the wrong credit cards. We want you to optimize those rewards and get the best ones for how you spend. And Matt, let's talk about student loans for a second. Obviously, a favorite topic on the show. And it's been a long time since most How to Money listeners have had to make a student loan payment. There's been a lot of rejoicing over the past year plus where everyone has been in forbearance if they have federal student loans. But there was this recent poll that I saw, and it said that 89% of folks with full-time jobs still aren't ready for student loan payments to resume.
Do you think that's just like wishful thinking?
I think
because
so.
It's like, oh, this person's asking me whether or not I'm ready to pay my, you know, pay down my student loans again. What are you going to select?
Of course not.
This is something I don't want to see in my life.
I'd prefer for them to be in forbearance indefinitely, right?
Yeah, like, gotta juice the stats.
Yeah. Can I opt out pre-screen my student loan payments? That'd be nice. But yeah, it turns out, of course, it's just around the corner. These payments are set to resume at the end of next month. And so, yeah, many people in this survey said they'll never feel ready, no matter how well their personal finances shape up. And I think that speaks to exactly what you're talking about, Matt. It's that wishful thinking. It's wanting to not have a student loan payment, but guess what? It still exists. And so obviously it's a big line item in the monthly budget of so many folks that's been missing for a long time, but it's time to make room for it again because we're getting close to the resumption of those payments. We just want to continue to highlight that for our listeners because we don't want you to get caught flat-footed in early February when that payment is due and you're like, huh? You don't want to be like a deer in the headlights when that happens, not having the money on hand to start paying that student loan payment again.
That's right. And we understand that restarting your payments towards your student loans, how that might provoke some anxiety for you. But the best way to avoid the worst of those anxious fears is just to be prepared. This is why we started talking about this literally months ago. But we want you to start to curb your spending so that your student loan payment can fit into your budget. And we want you to do that now, even though you've still got a couple months. Get into the habit of doing that now. Start saving that money. You could probably honestly use that extra cushion anyway. And if you know that you won't be able to afford that student loan payment, then it's worth looking into some of the different income-driven repayment plans to see if there's one that will lower those payments even further. Because the way those work is they tie your monthly payment to a percentage of your income. And so that's another thing to keep in mind is that if your income has dropped over the past 2 years, it's worth resubmitting, getting your income recertified because that will have an impact on your payments.
Yes, it will. And then another option, Matt, for some folks would be to refinance your student loan with a private lender. Before you do that, though, it's crucial to know the trade-offs that you're making if you go this route. For instance, you'd be losing out on future forbearance options or loan forgiveness if politicians ever did make that a reality. It's been promised a long time, but nothing's happened on that front. If you have private student loans, you're not going to qualify for either of those things. But lots of folks could substantially slash their interest rate, which would, you know, mean lower payments and allow you to pay off your loan more quickly if you opt to refinance. And you know what we would suggest if you're going in that direction, there's a company like Credible, which does a great job helping you shop multiple lenders to find the best rate for you. You don't want to just go to one place. You want to shop the market.
Yeah, you don't want a specific company. You want an aggregator of different companies.
Exactly, yeah. And so instead of a rate in the 5-7% range, which is likely where your federal student loans are, you can probably find something in the 2-3% range. And we've actually got an article on our site that will help you decide whether refinancing makes sense for you or not, kind of some checklist items to go through because, yeah, you don't want to just do it. You might regret it. But then there's a lot of people who, especially if it's your goal to pay off those student loans really quickly, refinancing your student loans could make a lot of sense.
That's right. And I can't imagine student loan rates going any lower than they currently are. So that's another reason to maybe start getting on that if that is you. By the way, student loans, they're such a problem. We saw that Ohio State, they have decided to do something about it. They're creating a debt elimination plan that's going to provide scholarships, work opportunities, and paid internships in order to help students, their undergrads, graduate debt-free. You know, that sounds a lot like the different packages that colleges give students, minus the student loan part. But this is a 10-year plan that will eventually allow their students there at Ohio State to graduate completely debt-free. We love the direction that Ohio State is going with this, and this is incredibly noteworthy just because of the massive size of Ohio State. I think there are some other schools who have done something similar, but the fact that a school this large is doing that is awesome.
Yeah, it's going to help so many kids out. And if I was a kid in that region of the country, if it was all had always been my dream to be a Buckeye, like
it's a good school.
This only puts Ohio State higher on my list.
Yeah, seriously.
For sure. Well, and Matt, one more story before we get to the break. There were have been a lot of Cyber Monday deals. Most of them are over.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Did you buy anything, by the way?
I bought a grill.
Oh, nice.
Mine was kind of rusted through. It was time.
You're 3-1?
My 3-1.
Oh, we'll talk more about
Smoker,
that, I'm sure.
Griddle, griller.
Come spring.
It's going to be delightful.
I got Kate a gift on Cyber Monday, and I'm not going to say it in case word gets back to her. But a company that I was keeping up with, they offered like a little 2-for-1 deal. It was like a package deal. And so that's all I'm going to say.
There you go. Okay. I'll say no more. Okay. But yeah, there still continue to be some deals, but actually some of the best deals that are happening right now are on cell phone service. We wanted to mention that really quickly. We're big fans, as everyone knows, of Mint Mobile, and they've got their buy 3 month, get 3 month deal going on right now. Matt and I, we both use them. And so yeah, you get 6 months of service for $45 if you choose the lowest price plan.
That is, it is such a good deal.
You can't really beat that. And so, yeah, we'd encourage you to take a look at that. We'll link to that in the show notes. If you're looking to save even more, Boost Mobile has a bare bones budget plan that's even just a little bit cheaper, but that only comes with 1 gig of data. It's basically what I think a whole year of service for $100.
Yep.
Not too shabby. But that basic Mint plan comes with 4 gigs of data, which is a whole lot more. So either one
it's
of those
a bit
options,
more realistic in
which,
my book.
Yeah, whichever one works for you. We'll link to both in the show notes, but just know those are some of our favorite Cyber Monday deals that apply to almost every How to Money listener, except for the ones in Australia and Canada, I think. I think I saw some people commenting. They're like, why hasn't Mint Mobile come to Canada yet? I don't know. I bet Ryan Reynolds is going to get on that though.
That's right. He's a responsive dude, so he actually might.
And he's also Canadian, so.
All right, we've got several other stories we're going to get to after the break, including we're going to talk about giving money. We'll get to that one, plus others, right after this break.
Okay, we're back, and it's time to get to that ludicrous headline of the week.
Let's do it.
This one comes from the LA Times and from writer David Lazarus, and here's the title. Wells Fargo found another way to abuse customers, then I called them on it. And listener Ben sent this one our way, so thanks, Ben. We always like to hear, get the emails from the ludicrous headlines that our listeners are seeing, and sometimes we like to share those on the show.
And of course, the reason this one's ludicrous is because it's Wells Fargo,
yep,
right? But I think it's also a little ludicrous because it almost sounds like the heading of a diary entry. Like, I feel like this entire story could just be David Lazarus being like, yep, Wells Fargo did something terrible again, but I called him on it this time. It's just, I feel like he's taking it way more personal, but I really like that. I like the journalism stance that David is taking.
Yeah, well, he's like kind of like an advocate, really, on behalf of consumers. Yeah. And so when his readers reach out with a problem, he goes to bat for them.
Yeah.
And he usually gets something done, and he did in this case too. And basically, Wells Fargo has had a number of issues over the year, and a lot has been written about the terrible things they've done, including, they've opened unwanted accounts in customers' names, they've improperly repossessed the cars of service members, they've gotten in trouble with the federal government and with their customers on a continual basis. And there's just so many reasons to dislike Wells Fargo, and there's one more. Based on this article detailed how Wells Fargo forced a customer to pay a wire transfer fee for Wells Fargo to move a mortgage payment around internally inside the bank.
And yeah, like from one account to another.
Yeah, and the other big banks don't even do that. Like David Lazarus called Bank of America and some of the other big ones to see like, well, is this happening all over the place? And it's like, nope, just at Wells Fargo. And so in this one case, Wells Fargo took care of the fee, but who knows how many other people have been charged a fee like this. A wire transfer fee is typically $30, so that's not cheap.
Yeah, man, all those fees add up. And actually, speaking of fees, Capital One, we just saw this, that they dropped their overdraft fees, which is super awesome.
Round of applause.
Yeah, this is something that Ally did a couple months ago, which, I mean, they were at the time the largest bank to have done something like that. And now Capital One is the largest bank, but I am glad to see certain companies, certain banks leading the charge when it comes to dropping unnecessary fees. It's honestly, this makes me think about Ohio State. Like, they're like the next largest institution that is coming along and making things better for those that they're trying to serve.
I think the average overdraft
really
fee is something like $40. And
really?
So, and sometimes people can stack up multiple overdraft fees in a day.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
So that's how you end up with a $40 cup of coffee.
Exactly. So let's get rid of those. And big kudos to Capital One for doing it.
Yeah. And so we wanted to mention this story here by David Lazarus, though, because we want this to be a reminder that you don't have to take awful customer service lying down. We want you to call a business if you are having an issue. You can turn to social media for help if you don't get a decent answer from calling the company directly. And ultimately, if you have an issue with a bank or another financial institution, you can always turn to OCC.gov. That's the Office of the Comptroller, or CFPB, which is the Consumer Financial Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB.gov. You can go to those two sites to file a complaint. We'll link to both of those in our show notes. But you might think that those complaints are just going to fall on deaf ears, right? It just kind of goes into this database and
and nobody does anything. It's just all bureaucracy. But that's not true.
It's like the warehouse at the end of Indiana Jones and the Lost Ark or whatever. Is it Last Crusade or the Lost Ark? I think it's the Lost Ark, when they're just like filing it away, like in a crate in this massive warehouse. That is not where your complaints are going, because the banks, they don't want to run afoul of the federal government, and so they often will remedy these situations quickly. You've got to be your own consumer advocate. You have to fight back. If you're lucky, you could maybe rope David Lazarus into it, and maybe he'll write a story about you. He's pretty good at getting these companies to respond. And maybe one final lesson to learn from this ludicrous headline is just to avoid some of these crappy companies. Avoid these terrible banks altogether.
Yeah, exactly. So we would recommend you do business with the banks that we talk about on a consistent basis that aren't terrible.
Yes.
We like Ally, we like Discover, we like CIT. Those are three banks that are worth considering. I actually wrote an article about why I signed up to join CIT back in the day. We'll link to that article in the show notes. But stop doing business with banks that hate you.
who treat you poorly and pay you nothing in interest. Yeah, definitely look at the online banks for that.
Exactly. Why do we stay with them? I think it's just inertia bias. And we got to get over that. We got to make
absolutely.
A change. But Matt, let's move on. Let's talk about giving. We've previously mentioned that 401k contribution limits are increasing by $1,000 next year, which is awesome. The people who want to save a ton can save even more. But what we haven't mentioned is that the tax brackets are changing too, and that the standard deduction is going up as well. Single filers are going to see that number raised to $12,950, and then joint filers will get an $800 boost that brings the standard deduction up to $25,900. And this is good news if you plan to take the standard deduction on your 2022 taxes, which is actually most folks, unless you actually have large amounts that you can itemize from things like mortgage interest or really big medical expenses that weren't covered by insurance. But it's also important to know the new standard deduction, because that could impact your charitable giving and how you give money away next year.
That's right. Yeah, we've talked about donor advised funds before here on the show, but they are one of the best ways, from a tax perspective at least, to give your money away. That's because they allow you to make an outsized contribution in 1 year in order to maximize that tax break, in order to get that bigger tax break. But then you're able to dole that money out to your favorite charities over time. And as we get closer to the end of the year, more people are starting to consider how to lower their tax bill. And of course, part of this includes giving money away. And that's where these donor advised funds come into play, because they allow you to invest money that you want to give to your favorite nonprofit and to be able to increase the amount that you're able to give over time. But unfortunately, what we found is that even the low cost brokerage companies who we love, they haven't been able to trim their fees as much as we would like to see them do within the donor advised fund space. But Axios, actually, they reported that there's a new startup doing just that. They're cutting their costs, they're cutting their fees, and it's called So it's DAF, like that's Donor Advised Fund, and this company is called Daffy. But this is an awesome new service who's making it way cheaper. They're making it way more affordable to give more of your money away within this tax-efficient manner.
Yeah. While the big brokerage houses take a percentage plus a management fee, Daffy has found a way to charge only $3 a month in management fees, which is not bad at all. And Daffy is a not-for-profit company, so it's cool to see a service like this spring up. If you know you want to give, but you aren't sure where you want to give yet, a donor advised fund makes a whole lot of sense and allows you to grow your dollars for philanthropy in a meaningful way until you decide on a specific direction for those dollars too. And Daffy just makes it easier to habitually contribute those donation dollars at a lower cost. And so all in all, it's a really cool new site and app that any How to Money listeners who are interested, who want to grow their own little pool of money to be their own little Mackenzie Scott, something like that, this is a good way to do that, and a low cost way to do that.
You know, it's crazy. You mentioned her, but you know that Jeff Bezos, he actually gave more than she did
last
year.
I saw that.
Did you see? Okay.
Yeah.
It's funny because, like, I guess he is still kind of like the villain in our minds, but he actually gave away a tremendous amount of money.
He did.
All right. Well, was it a couple of weeks ago we talked about a musical artist, Taylor Swift? We're going to talk about another musician now, Mariah Carey. And you know what song we're about to talk about, because I think you've got it on blast at your house. It's on repeat.
Not my doing. It's my wife's. But yes, it's a great song, I guess.
All I Want for Christmas. That's the song, of course, that we're talking about. It has been streamed nearly 700 million times in the past decade, which is amazing, you know, good for her. But seeing this actually made me think of our conversation a few months back with Rachel Richards. She's written and self-published two books on her own, and she has just hustled her way to selling more than 40,000 copies of her book. And, you know, she told us during our interview that she makes over $7,000 a month in book royalties as her book continues to sell. So we wanted to mention that because, you know, this isn't like Mariah Carey money, but it's cool to see just how normal folks can find a way to make a decent income, or, you know, I'm going to say decent, like a healthy income. That's amazing that Rachel's been able to do that just from royalties as well. So normal folks are able to do that, not just these iconic pop stars. And this is more proof, again, why ownership is the key to wealth.
Yeah, you're probably not going to write, record, and perform the most iconic Christmas song of the last 20 years. Sorry to burst your bubble. But there is a way to kind of take that pattern that certain people, uber talented folks like Mariah Carey, are able to do and kind of bring it down into your world with what you're good at. And Rachel did just that. And so, yeah, I love that correlation of how Mariah did it, so did Rachel. You know, can we all find a way to do that too, to make some recurring money off something that we're good at?
That's right.
Probably.
You just got to harness that royalty energy.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode, for this Friday Flight. Don't forget to record and send in your big money win for this year, which Matt and I want to feature in an upcoming episode.
I want to know how you have been crushing it this year.
Exactly. We can't wait to hear it and share it with your fellow listener. You can submit those to our email at howtomoneypod@gmail.com.
That's right. So we hope everyone has a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday. We have an interview lined up that is all about house hacking. You can look forward to that one. But Joel, until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.